us this evening, we've had a long-range transmission from Commander Little Grey, who appears to have got himself into a bit of a predicament. Grey, known for his talents in plugging the right things into the other right things for Hutton when outside broadcasts are needed, ensuring that our signals are audible and sometimes even visible throughout the Milky Way, is also known as a bit of a tinkerer, experimenter and theoretician of the most random ideas. From the Hutton Box of Buttons, or HBOB, though it has had other names after a collaboration with Vulcarius, and a strange experiment that involved using giraffes as mobile catapult platforms by giving them bucket helmets and rubber exoskeleton neck braces, he's been out and about investigating the phenomenon of space penguins, only to be found in close orbit of water worlds. There are a number of types of penguin that have taken umbrage at the regular label of flightless birds, and being more than a little fed up of standing in huddles on ice floes, skip the developing opposable thumbs, the ability to fly, or other key parts of evolution that one would normally associate with being a spacefaring species, and instead jump straight into a space race. Fitted with delightful little jetpacks and their own version of the Remlock survival suit and helmet, they can be found whizzing through the icy rings of a number of systems, hopping from rock to rock. Yes, they are rock hopper penguins, but these are space rock hopper penguins. Grey, working closely with Commander Dogsbreath and Galactic Australian Ice World Expedition, had taken his ship to one such ice ring and using a specially adapted cargo limpet, invited a number of the space penguins aboard. One key element sorry I've hit the wrong key there one key element he wanted to investigate was whether, when subjected to zero G, penguins attempted to use their wings, as they do in water, to fly, or they just keep with a streamlined look and blast about the place in their little jetpacks. Whilst the transmissions from Grey wasn't the outcome of his detailed research, its arrival did herald the sending of a Hutton rescue ship. It turns out that in an attempt to be an ethical amateur biologist, Grey had himself, instead of using a cargo bay for his penguin buddies, had dropped them into a VIP cabin on board his ship to ensure their comfort so he could study them in peace. What he hadn't counted on was the penguin passengers having a bit of an issue with windows. For millennia they've been in the open wastes of frozen regions of planets. In recent years, they'd swapped that for the open space of space. And it turns out being next to windows is not good for penguins. They want to be out there. The first he knew of this was a tapping noise from the rear of his ship, then a banging and then a hissing as a plethora of porky penguin proboscises proceeded to poke holes in his python, causing rapid depressurization before disgorging the penguins, complete with their cute little jetpacks and remlocks, back into the icy rings of the nearby world. As anyone knows, the penguins appear playful whilst whizzing and zipping around the underwater, but pissed off penguins who've been cooped up in a luxury VIP suite with no fish look just as playful, but just one glance at their beady eye and you know that they'll be hunting the rings for all that tasty cargo from passing ships. Fish, of course, from the world below, and with diamond cut serrated titanium beak prostheses, these piratey penguins can poke so significant holes in their ship trying to reach them. So a warning, penguins and windows don't mix. If you're picking up a penguin, keep it in a cool dark place, and whatever you do, do not attempt to feed them by hand unless you want to raise a harp Cyberbeak to take a finger or two in the process. Yeah.
You can take the mute off any time you like.
Seamless.
Yeah, something happened. As reported on our sister station Live Radio earlier in the week, and as broadcast throughout GalTube channels by streaming celebrity pilots from across the galaxy, it appears that after buying up swathes of space in an expensive drive into the bubble, Tharg the Mighty has finally decided to do something with all this new real estate. Build on it. After all, having sent over a huge force of ships complete with the impedimenta that follows such a military outing, it was about time to stick a flag in the ground or raise it over a building and start colonising his, her, or their new systems. Of course, a number of worlds already have little refuelling points, those barnacle sites that sometimes have gnarly growling visitors popping by to top off their tanks, but the new giant capital projects are of an entirely different scale. The towering spires, complete with their own green cloud and defence force of Tharglit or Thucker skimmer equivalents, equipped with grenades, lots of little arrows wandering around spitting at things, and the occasionally patrolling Mini have appeared on a number of planets in recent days. Commanders, of course, raced to these new locations to marvel at how fast they were constructed. I wonder why there weren't any billboards. Ogle the snapping maw, which appears to sit there like a baby bird demanding tributes of or food, or maybe a few people-sickles dropped into it. Oh, and then they tried to drive it up, jump off it, climb it and poke it with things, not necessarily in that order. And as of yet, there are no indications as to whether these spires house thousands of Thargoids getting a good night's kip in readiness for putting their metaphorical towel in the lounger before everyone else gets up and wandering around the planet in sandals and socks, or if it's a medical wing, or a big shop, or whether there's a fancy pants revolving restaurant at the top. At the moment though, they appear not to be a threat to humanity, and nothing more than an interesting new tourist destination. If you like your tourist destinations to be near fatal encounters, with a significant chance of being eaten, captured, probed, or even gooped.
After being just a gnat's crotchet away from 100,000 mug deliveries last week, Friday morning saw that milestone achieved in the Too Hot, Too Messy event. We're not quite certain who made the 100,000th delivery, but it was either the Burke or Waller81, the only two commanders who were out mugging at the time. Well done to them for their shared honours and to all commanders who are actively taking a part in this huge effort. Rumour has it that Palantir was seen out delivering mugs this week, which makes a change from his Meals on Wheels service. In addition, the number of new ports discovered since the start of Too Hot, Too Messy has increased by 90,000 earlier today and 53,000 of them through our quest to mug every single station. How do we know this? Well, because of course it's tracked by the marvel that is the Hutton Helper, and it's updated live in the Too Hot, Too Messy event page at hot.forthemug.com/hotmess2. We're an expansion in Alpha Centauri, so gin production at the orbital is up slightly, but it could be higher if we improve the security situation. Light traffic is reported at the orbital again this week, with green lights all the way in. Pads are clear and there's plenty of deck parking available. Hutton run times this week are Cy Burslia, who made two runs, the fastest of which was 1 hour 23 minutes 25 seconds, which is not bad, and Core Badger, who did it in 1 hour 24 minutes and 42 seconds.
Warnings have been issued at Hutton that the North British section of the station, commonly referred to as New Glasgow, is in danger of a significant incident over the next few days as a huge solar storm from Hutton's parent star, no, not the primary one, we mean Proxima, which is the one near us, threatens to cause mayhem with electrical systems and give any North Britishers standing near the windows the kind of a tan that makes them go from blue to red in an instant. That section of the station is currently the nearest to the star, and without the required electromagnetic and optical shielding, I mean, it used to have it, but there are rumours that someone took it and melted it down to make little models of old Glasgow for their display. It is in serious danger. So, an evacuation order has been issued, asking all North Britishers and their guests to move to safer parts of the station, like the West British wing, where there are male voice choirs and lots of sheep and plenty of cosmic shielding. If you're in the north wing of Hutton, please take this very seriously, as Nurth Weyeth doesn't want to have to give out more of those anti-radiation suppositories and aloe vera. Oh, and there's a good chance that the electrical interference will turn the station sanitization robots into homicidal maniacs by factory resetting them to their default Ouija and squeegee mode.
Apology officers, outside broadcast report, 19th October 33. Oh shit. Location, Hutton Orbital Science Wing. Previous location, the Tyrannus Maelstrom, via a waiting megaship. Mission description, obtain an interview with a Thargoid abductee. Having been dispatched by Alvin to investigate the returnees from the rescue in the Maelstroms and gain a few sound bites to find out what actually happened, I made my way to the region of the Tyrannus Maelstrom in the hopes of locating one of the millions of rescued people and finding exactly what happened to them. With the Tyrannus Maelstrom not being accessible to the Hutton Outside Broadcast ASP, and to be honest, not having a clue how to get past that big wave thing, I made my way to the nearest megaship to try and interview a few of those who had been returned, only to find they weren't there. This might be being dropped off at megaships, but they're not in the infirmary, they're not in any of the cabins, and they're not being debriefed by a Federation or Imperiological Division, and they're not in the bar. I did stop to check a few times. They are definitely not in the bar. Whether being hidden, whether that be in a locked section of the station or being shipped away to some scientific bases, no one knows. Not the barman, not the guy mopping the bar, not the doorman on the bar. I was going to stay a while longer, but the Vuckfast man in tonic wine ran out, as did the discretionary news hospitality fund. So, nothing much to report other than someone is covering things up. That many rescuees can't just vanish into thin space.
Things are still generally acceptable and hunky-dory in Hutton Space this week. No, that isn't a butch fish. It means, well, agreeable. Only four systems are on the naughty step, with two particularly low, and we have two systems in need of some truckly assistance. More on those stories coming up. The squabbling in Ross 671 continues, and the winner of the last one has foolishly decided to take on Hutton in a snap election, as predicted last week. I mean, with only 21% of influence, I mean, who wouldn't? Despite winning the first day, Hutton managed to pull it back to 3-1, and we need only one more day of election victory to keep the system. However, unless we put some clear daylight between us and the pack, this sort of thing, where some also-ran fancies their chances, will continue. 7 points higher on 28, 36 Ofiuki is not only struggling, but he's also facing a challenge from the Sol Workers' Party, who are only 5 points behind. Or is this another cunning plan to steal another station from them? Tune in next week to find out. Rebounding from its recent infrastructure failure, Barnard Star is undergoing a period of boom, investment and civil liberty, and has given itself a public holiday, despite dropping 2 points to 32. Most of the other factions are still suffering from famine, outbreaks, civil war and unrest, and busted economies, so I suppose they're just glad that they aren't them. Lastly, Stein 2051 gained 4 points in the week, lifting it to 38. The infrastructure failure in Wolf 359 was relieved in the last 24 hours, bringing systems back online, and with it all those annoying humming and rumbling sounds, but now at least they can breathe properly and flush the box successfully. In our home system of Alpha Centauri, commanders have beaten off a number of terrorists, but the resulting scandal has caused some civil unrest. rest. This poor security is still suppressing Centauri Megajin production, so hand in any Hutton bounties and redeem combat bombs in Alpha Centauri. The terrorists that were driven out of Alpha Centauri are now terrorizing Georgie's pants, so head over there to beat them off. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have five systems above 60%, one of which is only over 70, and we are in expansion. Find out which squalid dump we've set foot in next week. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Ross 671. If you want to shoot something, well, waste some criminals and hand in Hutton bounties and combat bonds in Alpha Centauri.